Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 312. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight, we have Harrison Milfeld.
What's up, everybody?
Holly Felmuth.
Hi, everyone.
And Colin Crompton.
Hello, everybody.
Tonight, we have a familiar three-part structure for yourselves. We're going to start with what we've been playing, move on to the Nintendo news, and our final feature for this evening is going to be our E3 Predictions game show. And let's start off with what we've been playing. So, has anyone got anything interesting to start this conversation?
I assume that you're kind of talking to me on that.
We're eyeing towards you, yes.
So, I have been playing a very special demo. It's just a demo, but it is very special, especially to me. I've been enjoying it a lot. It is the Tomodachi Life Move-In Edition. It's just a little demo of Tomodachi Life, and it was actually worded as an early access demo in the email that I got. So I got this code for Tomodachi Life. So that's kind of what I've been playing. And just to kind of explain what's in the demo. So I guess just the early parts of the game is basically what is in this demo. You can insert your lookalike me, which is just a me of yourself, unless you want your lookalike me to be somebody else, which would be kind of strange. But so you put your me in there. You can change its personality. You can make its voice kind of sound like your own. You can basically customize it just like you will be able to customize it in the full version of the game. And then it moves into this apartment building on an island, and you actually can choose the name of your island. I'm trying to remember what the first name... Oh, I've actually started a couple of different save files on that just because it doesn't take that long to get through. But the first time I did that, I named the island Hollyville just because I could not think of anything else.
So just checking, was that a similar name you had for your Animal Crossing village?
No. Hollyville doesn't quite fit into the character.
Well, how about Hollyopolis?
That's a good one. I may just make that, when I get the full version, which I actually really want to get the full version now, I may just go with Hollyopolis. It's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Indeed.
So anyway, another save file that I actually created, I named it Me and You Island, and I spelled me like M-I-I, and then you, just a plain old you for like me's, and the Wii U, which I thought was kind of clever, Me and You Island. That's actually my current one. But there's like an apartment building, and as far as I can tell, there's only one apartment building on the whole island. And in the demo, you can only have three Mii characters move in, and they just all move into the apartments one at a time. And it looks like there is actually kind of a limit on how many Mii's you can actually import onto the island. Although I haven't counted them, there's like at least four floors, I think, of rooms in this little apartment building. And you see the windows that are lit up means that there's a me living there. And you can actually see the status of a particular me through the window. So if a me is unhappy, you can just see that right away and go straight to their room and see what they need. Talk to them. In the demo, you can actually, I think I mentioned this, you can actually only import a total of three Mii's, which is why I've been starting over again a few different times, because I want to see as many Mii's interact as possible. Let's see. Probably the second thing that you unlock is the grocery store.
There's a grocery store in this?
Yeah. You gotta feed them. I mean, it's almost like The Sims.
you gotta feed them. I mean, you gotta like do something, whatever, in this game. I mean, it is apparently what they try to say is some part of real life, but yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of I would say a mix of The Sims and Animal Crossing, except it's way weirder than probably both.
I'm quite curious, how important is the Sim aspect of it? I mean, what happens if you don't feed them? for example? Is there like energy meters and...
There's a meter that tells you how full they are. It's actually shaped like a stomach, so you can quickly look at that and see if they need some food. And they have favorite foods, not so favorite foods. I'm not sure, because I kept starting the game over, I'm not sure if in the demo the food actually changes day by day. But supposedly, well, in the full version, definitely, the grocery store will be stocked with something different every day. So go back and just buy more stuff. The way you earn money is actually by solving me problems, and feeding your me characters is one of those things you can do to make your me happy and solve their problems and earn money. You can level up their happiness that way and earn prizes when they level up. And then, you know, as you play, more buildings open up. So there's the grocery store, you go to buy some food for your me characters. And these are just in the demo. There's the town hall. The town hall is where you see like all of your me characters, and I think you can look at their personalities and how their personalities match up there. And the town hall is also where you make new me's for your island. So town hall, it's a little boring. My favorite building that you can actually unlock in the demo is the music hall. It's really, really funny to watch familiar me characters dance and sing. And the me, or the concert hall in the demo version, has just one song and not even a full song, but just watching that is just super, super hilarious. I mean, I took tons and tons of pictures. You can take a picture of the top screen or the bottom screen at will just by hitting the X or the Y button, the X button for the top screen and the Y button for the bottom screen.
So what's happening on both screens, as it were, then?
What's that?
So what's actually happening on the different screens? You say you can take pictures of the different ones.
It actually kind of depends. If you're interacting with a me in his or her like room or apartment, it's going to be the bottom screen because, like, say they want a new change of clothes. You pick out the clothes, and then, like, a little present appears off to the side, and you actually have to drag that little present into the me's hands before they can use it. And so that will take place on the bottom screen. But, like, performances in the music hall will take place on the top screen. I think when the me's actually meet each other, or if you're just observing them and not interacting with them, that will take place on the top screen. So it just shifts.
Oh, okay. So yeah. My next question is, how important is the 3D in this game?
Actually, I am so out of out of the habit of using 3D that I haven't even tried it yet. Actually, I think I might have tried it once.
Yeah, because I'm curious, if it's jumping from one screen to the other, it may even be disabled, or it can't be that much of an important feature if they're willing to put the action on the bottom screen.
Yeah, I think I did try it once, and there is 3D, and it looks just fine, but, you know, yeah, I'm just not a minimal. Big fan of 3D in general, so I don't use it a lot. But, you know, some people might enjoy that. There's also the beach that opens up in the demo, although I haven't seen anything happen there. If you go to the beach and no one is there hanging out, it just says, oh, well, no one's here, and you just sit there looking at the beach for a little while. So that's a little boring.
You're not being able to recreate any of those romantic beach scenes that we saw in the reveal. On the Nintendo Direct?
Unfortunately, no. I need to, like, play the game for an extended period of time, but only being able to choose, like, two other me's besides myself. I guess I could choose a different person for a lookalike, but... Yeah. I want to start it over again and again and again and just watch the same things over again just between different people and see how things play out. So that's what I've been doing. I did one file with my family members. I actually let my sister... create a file, and then I erased that after she had played through most of it. I know, and I'm an amazing sister. This is not, as far as I can tell, this is not a game that you can really share with family members. I don't think there will be save files, and you can't have more than, like, one lookalike me. So I don't know how easy it's going to be for the both of us to play. Like, in Animal Crossing New Leaf, my little sister... She's actually the mayor right now, but at first I was the mayor, and she moved in. And you can still, you know, like, have a house and live in the town and have multiple files in that way on Animal Crossing, but I don't think it's going to be the same way on Tomodachi Life.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. So, yeah, maybe they're trying to almost, yeah, lock it down per system, trying to get more 2DSs out there or something. But it almost feels more like, I guess, how Pokemon just has the single save file per game.
Yeah.
But it is good in Animal Crossing, yeah. It's kind of, yeah, built around local... players, and you can, you know, share things between each other.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be kind of a personalized thing. It is on a handheld, and so I guess that was the idea they were going for. I just need to convince my sister to save up some money and get a 2DS, but we'll see how that works out.
Yeah. So it sounds like this demo has a very positive reaction from yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wasn't planning on, like, a day one buy purchase for this, basically. But now I'm seriously considering it. It's a really charming, funny game, and I only played it for, like, an hour, and there's so many more buildings to unlock on the island and things to do. The game, or the demo, actually kind of gives you an idea of what it's like. At the beginning, it's like, you know, in this game, you can, you know, meet up with me characters and do this and do this, and maybe even fall in love. Let's look into the future and see what that might look like. And it has, like, you married to, you know, someone with a question mark covering their face. And it's like, you might even have a baby, and then it shows you that future. And so, yeah, it looks like there's a lot more to do.
What do me babies look like?
In the full version of the game.
You got me babies?
Oh, dear. That's really cool. So it's a title that I'm very curious about. I would love to have see a demo become available to the general user, because yeah, it'd be really great to try before you buy on that one.
I'm sure it will.
Could I ask you, Holly, how do you think of the short gameplay demo you had? How does it compare to Animal Crossing?
Well, I'm trying to think of like similarities. You're not mayor, not in this game. In Animal Crossing, you just, you have a town, and a lot of what you do is interacting with other, you know, animals, townsfolk, basically. And that's kind of how this game is going to be. Like, sometimes a Mii character will, like, you'll talk to them, they're not having a problem, but they want to say something to you, and so they'll be like, oh, I want to go over to so-and-so's house and meet them. How do you think I should behave toward them? And then they can meet that way and become friends. Also, in this game, in Tomodachi Life, you can change the interior of your Mii's apartments. You can change their clothes. There's quite a few, and there is currency, so you're actually buying stuff as well. And the concert hall is quite similar to the whatever that club is called. What is that club called?
Club Mii. Is it
Club 101 or LOL? Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are those similarities, but it's also quite a bit like The Sims. Like, you have to really care for your little Mii characters. And in Animal Crossing, you're in, like, direct control of your character, whereas in Tomodachi Life, you're almost like, you're almost like in The Sims, where you're the god figure and you're watching over everything.
You guide them instead of physically controlling them.
No. You're just watching things play out, basically.
Okay.
And taking care of them, if you really don't want them to die, or something. I should try to find out what happens when you don't feed them.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about. I was trying to suggest towards it when you say, like, if you don't feed them, what happens? Because I can't imagine the characters actually die in this game. I imagine they just get a bit sad until you feed them.
Be a T-rated game if that were the case. Although, I mean, gosh, you can get married and have kids in this game, for Pete's sake. Should be really weird to see who I like, or who your lookalike me ends up getting together with.
Yeah, because you don't really have, from what I've gathered, you don't have much input into it. You don't really get to choose. It's just, you just see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's basically the case. You don't have a lot of control. Like, you can't tell your me, like, go over to so-and-so's house and socialize, okay? Like, they, like, get the initiative to go talk to so-and-so. So, yeah, you don't have all control over things like in The Sims. So yeah, it's got, you know, just a little bit of every like kind of sim game in it.
Yeah, imagine you're gonna get some really weird scenarios, because the game obviously doesn't know the difference between your like real life friends and family.
Actually,
so you guess, oh, does it? Okay.
Well, you can distinguish relationships between Mii's, like family ones. So, you know, I put my brother in, and I was able to say, like, actually, I think maybe you can only say what the relationship is between your lookalike Mii and everybody else, because I don't remember being able to say that my brother and sister were related. But I was actually, I guess it just kind of gathered that from the fact that they were both brother and sister to Mii. So yeah, you can do family relationships.
Oh, that's good. That's good that they put that much through.
Yes.
I was getting quite worried about the possibilities that could occur, because I've got quite a robust Mii collection at this point.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Is there anything else you've been playing, Holly?
Well, 3DS image share comes into the whole equation. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but you can just share your pictures that you have taken straight from the game to social media sites. So that's an option.
That's pretty cool. Okay, move on now. Colin, what have you been playing recently?
I've been reliving the glory years of DS. I completely passed it by because I was too busy with the GBA. So now I'm going back and all the games are quite cheap now because obviously everyone's moved on to the next generation and, you know, things are cheap, so...
Yeah, I think the DS is kind of in that nice place where it's not so obscure that the prices are going up.
No.
So yeah, there's a lot of cheap DS games out there. It's a good time to buy them.
Yeah, well, it's the DS is now where the GBA was, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. So yeah, it seems like the perfect time to move on. So I've been playing a lot of DS RPGs. I'm a big RPG fan. And I've been playing Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 2. That is a tongue twister of a title. But it's fantastic. It's like Pokemon, but I find it more preferable to Pokemon. Because every Pokemon game is technically the same. You know, you start off, you choose your one starter Pokemon, and then you've got to fight 8 gym leaders, and then you fight the Elite Four, and that's...
With the exception of, you know, obviously the region and, well, essentially the Pokemon the Pokemon that are in there. But yeah, I see what you mean, it just... I think what X and Y did is they finally kind of changed up the formula a little bit, but obviously we've seen quite a lot of the similarities in past iterations.
Yeah, they all seem to kind of run on a very similar structure, but just kind of replace the actual components of it each time.
But, yeah, I mean, this is my first Dragon Quest Monsters game. I also get the first one, the Joker, first Joker game. But it's a little bit out of my price range at the moment, so I thought I'll get the second one cheap. And I'm really looking forward to playing the first one, because if it's anything like this one, it's brilliant. So I finished that the other day, and I moved on to Golden Sun, Dark Dawn, because I played the first two, and I loved them. I mean, they're great RPGs. And I've only just started it today, so I'm not that far into it, but yeah. It's everything I wanted from a Camelot RPG. It's so far, it's the first couple of hours are brilliant. And apart from that, I've been playing quite a lot of Mario Golf.
Hey, that's pretty good to hear.
Ah, the game I need to get finally for once.
It's.
I see my star performance was not unnoted.
Are you trying to sell us something here, Lewis?
I thought the highest score was the best. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the object of the game is get the ball in the hole. You do know that.
Oh, I see. I just saw these negative scores and I was just feeling so confident.
But, I mean, Mario Golf World Tour, great sequel to Toadstool Tour. And yeah,
I should actually get it.
Great.
Never played a Mario Golf game before.
Never. Yeah, you have to. It's so much fun. I mean, I'm not a big fan of golf, but this is not. You know, it's not like simulation golf. Although it has simulation elements like wind direction, wind speed, using the right gloves. But yeah, it's so easy to pick up and play, and it's so much fun.
And yeah, it does have some cool online modes.
It has some very good online.
So yeah, I mean. We'll mention it again at the end of the show, but we do have a second Mario Golf tournament currently running. Seeing as it's you set up, Colin, would you like to give a quick breakdown of what this is and how people can join in?
So the first tournament I sort of put out, it was like a little experiment. I thought, I'll see if anyone turns up. And, yeah, I mean, it did better than I expected, and we got quite a few. I put a post on Miiverse and people follow through, and yeah, so I thought, okay, we'll follow up with another one. And so this time it's at Wiggler Park, which is, it's a 9-hole course. And to access it, it's very simple. You just go to, mine's gone back. You go to, is it tournaments?
I think you have to go into, I might have to just edit this section out completely, but I think you go into, like, quick play mode?
You do, that's it, yeah, go quick play mode. Then you go to, is it tournaments next, isn't it?
And it's custom tournaments,
and then it's custom tournaments, and then you, hang about. Let me turn the game on.
Yeah. Well, we could tell it this way. Find the tournament option in Mario Golf. And there's a special code that you need to enter in to participate. And if you grab a pen now, the code is 47-4250-2906-6654. And so, yeah, if you enter that code in and join in on the Mario Golf fun, and yeah, see where you play, see if you can beat my ultimate score. So yeah, we've had a pattern of Camelot games, actually. So yeah, from Golden Sun, which I never picked up on the DS.
Yeah, I never did get that. I mean, I had a few friends who told me, like, as far, I mean, it's technically a prequel to the first two games in the Game Boy Advance, but I had a few friends that just kind of picked it up, whatever, and they said great things about it, whatever, and, you know, again, I remember writing a piece for Pure Nintendo Magazine about Nintendo franchises that need to be brought back, and Golden Sun was one of them, and I just blatantly mentioned, well, not blatantly, but just went off just about how, you know, Nintendo actually has a decent first-party RPG series that they could actually, you know, put into another gear, and it just deserves, like, it deserves a console release.
Yeah, well, maybe you can save that one for later on in the show.
buying the game and make it myself? Yeah, I know.
Well, there's always that route. Maybe that's the more realistic possibility here. I actually only played completely through the first Golden Sun game on the Game Boy Advance. And at the time, I was just kind of really stunned by the end. Because I didn't see it coming, that it was going to be a two-parter. I don't know if it was just something I was just ignorant of as a consumer at the time. But I did not know that was just going to break up halfway through what I thought what was the quest and say, you know, to be continued when you've completed two of the four. Was it Torches, I guess it was?
Yeah.
That the story was all revolved around. That's on my big gaming to-do list, is to pick up the second game on the Game Boy Advance and then the DS one afterwards. But now it is a really cool series, which I really should return to at some point. As for myself, what I've been playing, a lot of my time has been around developing. But in terms of actual gameplay, I've been putting in little pockets of time into a Mario Golf. So hopefully, in this next tournament, I hopefully won't be at the very bottom of the pile. We'll see if any of that training has paid off. The other game I've been playing is just finishing off the final Professor Layton game. Now, it's a game I started quite a while back, and it's a pretty big game if you take your time and you play it in little chunks like I do. And I've got to the part of the game where the story has revealed itself in its crazy, twisted and wonderful fashion. And
is, I was going to ask, is it crazy?
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's it put up a very good pretense for most of the game that it was fairly simple and quite grounded. And then once it lured you into that false sense of security, it really pulls out the stocks. It really makes you rethink the entire series. It's really fantastic. I've not quite finished it yet, but I think I've only got about half an hour to an hour to in it, and that's all. But it's really cool to see the end of this, I guess, the prequel trilogy.
Is this the Azran Legacy?
It is Azran Legacy, yeah. It's good to see this go out with a bang. I was kind of worried that because it was, you know, just the end of the prequel trilogy, and we know what happens in the first game, of course.
So does it end where the first one starts?
I mean, I've not quite cleared it. I mean, I'm at like that final chapter where things are like resolving themselves, but I don't think it's literally going to take you there. I think it's just kind of showing what's happened, because, you know, there's some new characters in the prequel trilogy, which you don't really see again, and it's kind of answering some of those questions as why that would be, which I never really thought of before. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, anyone who's kind of played Leighton games in the past and for whatever reason aren't playing them anymore, I'd recommend you pick them back up. Oh no, you should. Oh, you stopped after the second. The third is my favorite. Definitely go for that one.
I wish I knew what you guys were talking about. I've only played Miracle Mask, and I'm not even done with that one.
Oh, okay. I think the third is it The Lost Future? Is it called?
Yeah, the Lost. It's as far as localization, it's different everywhere.
Yeah, it's one of them. I'm not sure that's what we got or not.
Is it the Unwound
It's
Future?
the one with young Luke as well.
Yeah, it's got a younger
Not
version.
young
Is it?
Luke, older
Like,
Luke.
older Luke. It's older Luke, yeah.
Oh.
It's like, I'm
It's
getting
like
younger.
uni Luke.
He's really young, like, to begin with, isn't he? I was like, he goes younger in the
No.
storyline? No,
it gets older.
Yeah, no.
You
He
meet.
unfortunately he goes back to his normal self because old Luke is not anywhere near as annoying as regular Luke
I
is.
was gonna say, is the how's the voice?
Oh, and on old Luke it's absolutely fine. 'Cause he's like a old teenager sort of thing. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. And Harrison, I believe, unfortunately, you've not really been able to catch much time into gaming.
Yes, and I think this is your bit where you kick me off the show for being the second week in a
Yeah,
row where I haven't done anything. No, actually, I mean, this all changes once Mario Kart 8 comes out
of course.
next week. But speaking of Mario Kart 8, since my flash memory, like the internal flash memory on my Wii U is about to be full, I had to buy like a physical copy of this for now because, I'm saving them especially for another external. I just need to find the recommended like external hard drive to get to that. But Best Buy is doing like a, if you go in the store and pre-order it, you can get like a $10 get like a $10 or $15 like gas card. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing that.
And of course, you get a free game as well, don't you? If you
Yeah,
register at
okay.
Club Nintendo.
Yeah, and this is the thing I found out today. Aside from the four titles they mentioned on there, unless this was just Photoshop that I saw on Twitter, they had mentioned four other titles on there that you could download as well. Like, unless they changed it, or I'm just seeing things. Because one of them included, what was it, Wonderful 101 and Wario, Game and Wario. What else is there? Nintendo Land. Yeah, just.
I know that it's localized, so we have a different selection of games. I think we've got a bit bigger selection, but
I
we do have a
think.
different selection of games than America does. So it's possible that you might have sort of seen one of
Why?
those.
I know. It's just me
But
when
hey,
they
free
announce
game.
those. Well, yeah, it's a free game, but it's just like, I already own most of those, and it's like, I'm not really interested in Wii Party U. It just.
Get it
I don't know.
anyway.
You could
I'm
go
getting
worse
it.
than Wii Party, you.
Yeah, that's true. I could just
It's
buy
got
it.
some fun modes in it. I never did put that post together about what to avoid and what to play in Wii Party U. But yeah, if you do seek out the good stuff in it, there's yeah, definitely fun to be had.
So what is
So,
the selection in the UK anyway?
oh, we have quite an impressive selection. If we hold on for a moment, I'll bring it up. But I believe it's 10 games you get to choose from.
Yeah, I think that's the one I saw on Twitter today. I got too excited and I was like, oh.
And the most shocking thing here is the o if my memory's correct, the only game I don't own out of them is Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
That's the one you want.
Is it?
I don't know.
Well, I think it literally is, unfortunately, the one I want because I got all the others. Although I could be kind and give a friend a top tier Wii U game that is kind of allowed and suggested. But the UK deal is you can either get Nintendo Land, Super Mario Bros. U, Game and Wario, Pikmin 3, Zelda Wind Waker HD, Sonic Lost World, Mario and Sonic at the Olympics, Wii Party U, The Wonderful 101, or Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate.
You guys get so many better ones.
You just do only get to choose one.
Do I?
A good selection, though. Exactly, the only one I don't have out of that list is Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
Jeez.
Person, if that were an option, you should, or I would tell you to pick Monster Hunter so that we could play online
Yeah.
together.
But I'll be busy with Mario Kart 8 though for a while.
I'm going to put in a shocking revelation here. And I think I might be the only person on the show here I don't actually like Mario Kart.
Oh.
I absolutely
don't. Whoa!
Blasphemy!
Did
you like fall out of like I don't know like past series, or you just like just after 64
no.
you were just like yeah I'm done?
I never played 64. I played Double Dash first. That's the first Mario Kart game, and I lost.
Ah, okay.
I just can't. It's the rubber band AI. You're behind. Oh, you get nuked. Oh, they pass you. Oh, you pass them again. And I'm like.
So wait, did you play this exclusively single player?
I did.
Uh-huh. We get into the crux of the issue. I think two things here. We're playing psychologist now in Mario Kart.
The psychology of Mario Kart.
I think the first issue which was raised here is the first and only entry you played was Double Dash. Although it does have a kind of cult following, I think generally it's perceived as being the worst of the series. I could be wrong here.
Well, Double Dash, I thought, at the time, I thought it was, as far as the most inferior out of them that it was released, while actually I kind of still, to this day, think Super Circuit on the GBA is the, probably the worst, well, I use that term loosely, worst, just because it didn't do much to kind of advance the series, but then again, it was just a new Mario Kart and just the same engine of Super Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo. That was it. It didn't do much to advance it, but eh. I don't know. It did Double Dash, I look more and more back at it, and I just wish Nintendo would like take more risks like that with the series.
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely good stuff to be taken out of Double Dash, but I think, yeah, in general, most people perceive it as one of the weaker entries. And I think the other thing is, I'm not particularly that keen on Mario Kart single player. You know, multiplayer is where it's at in that game, at least from my perspective. Yeah, I mean, then you don't really have the issue of the rubber band AI, it's just, you know, you and your mates, and it doesn't really matter so much if something ridiculous happens, you get taken out by a blue shell, because, you know, you just share it with your mates and it's hilarious, opposed to just being absolutely frustrating and just seeing an enemy whiz by you, knowing that they also, the computer technically controls them and the items which just took you down. It just seems a bit unfair at that point. I think the good news is I recently read a review, and I think it was on Kotaku, how Mario Kart 8 convinced this person who didn't traditionally like Mario Kart games. He was going to write it off, and he played it, and he absolutely fell in love with it, and it's the only one in the series which he actually likes. So there is that possibility as well. But yeah, hopefully they'll have some sort of playable demo in retail stores.
Yeah,
over here.
The first thing I'll have to do is invest in a Wii U. I don't actually own
one. Oh yeah, that as well. That's a bit of a roadblock, isn't it?
But I looked on the game. Sorry, Holly and Harrison is kind of a divergent path here. But on the game website, as in the game retailer, they're selling a basic, the 8 gig Wii U. For £99.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like
£99 over there.
99. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's tricky. You can't really do a straight conversion of that because we normally pay like dollars to pounds. That's normally the conversion rate companies use when they bring things over. So that wouldn't be that far off if you saw something for $100.
Wow.
Do you think it's worth jumping in?
Yeah, that price definitely.
Okay.
So I wouldn't necessarily normally recommend the basic. But at that price, yeah, you can just put an external hard drive up when you're ready.
The deluxe is $199.
Yeah, for half price, definitely go the basic. And on that note, I think we'll move on now to the Nintendo news.
Sorry, Woody.
First item on the agenda is 3,000 fans are going to be welcomed to watch the Super Smash Bros. Invitational live at E3. And it sounds like it's going to be a first-come, first-served basis when the line is going to start in the morning. So they're not going to allow anyone kind of camping overnight. But they're the first 3,000 fans which appear. And apparently there might also be special priority for people in cosplay. But yeah, they're going to get to watch.
People who are in priority, like dressed up or cosplaying, get first priority.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like an odd system, but the way it was worded was like, yeah, if you turn up in a cool Nintendo costume, they might bring you to the front of the queue.
You know some of you are just gonna do the biggest cop-outs, like, oh, the easiest one, just Mario and Luigi, there you go.
I just imagine, I bet you there's gonna be more like Wii Fit trainers and there will be Marios as
Yeah,
well.
I fear for what the.
That's
Oh,
true, yeah.
more people need to do that. I mean, that's one costume I wanted to do pretty much if I ever got the chance, but
I think a Jigglypuff costume would be good. Or a Kirby.
I actually did see a full-fledged, when I was in college, my junior year, I did see some guy during the day of Halloween going to class in a full-fledged Kirby outfit.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, I wish I would have took a photo
So
of that.
was it like just like worn kind of normally on him, or did it actually make him look like spherical?
It was kind of, he found a way to make it blow, like this, got the fabric to kind of blow up, whatever, so he was inside the costume,
Oh,
so
that's
it
good.
was very awkward going in. Like, it was funny to see the thing, like, see him walk through doors.
Yeah, I was imagining a weird deflated Kirby. It was just like a guy in a pink onesie with a little Kirby face on it. So yeah, I mean, it's cool that Nintendo's mixing things up for this E3. I mean, a lot of people were kind of, I guess, probably ourselves that's included, a bit disappointed that Nintendo wasn't doing a traditional stage show as it was, like at the
Yeah,
actual
stage, all
convention.
that. But this one's different, I think. It's not just a direct. It's actually, I think they're shooting it live somewhere. I don't know, in LA. So I get, yeah, it's still a stage show, but it's not like in the Nokia Theater what they're doing.
That's right, because that is where this Smash Bros. Invitational is being held in the Nokia Theatre. So they've still paying the cost of renting out the theatre, and they're doing it for this big Smash Bros. Tournament, and welcoming 3,000 fans. I think that's an awesome idea. I mean, it's a shame that I'm not going to get the opportunity to take part in that one, but for the people who are, that's going to be out of this world.
I think I'm probably the closest to LA of any of us, but I'm still too far away. I do have a friend, though, who I email back and forth, who told me his plan. I think he's got like a friend who lives really close, so as soon as like 9:30 hits or whatever time that was, he's gonna like dash across the street from his friend's house.
Oh, nice.
So he said he'd take pictures and things, so gosh, we are definitely posting those if he gets in.
Oh, definitely. So the next thing we've got here is some new Hyrule Warriors information. Obviously this is the spin-off game coming out later in the year. And what we found out is there are going to be multiple playable characters, and so far we've had Impa confirmed, as well as some of the new bosses which are featured in this game. There's also been a bunch of new screenshots which have been shown off.
We're talking about the elephant in the room as far as the images of the new villain on here, which shows a little too much.
Oh, of course, yeah, the villainess. And alongside this news, we found out that Team Ninja
Yeah.
is
Ding,
also
ding,
helping
ding.
along
Now we
with
know
development.
why. Now we
What a
know why.
coincidence.
Maybe it was a coincidence.
I don't know. Maybe, like, it was strange to me when I played Other M how the designer, like, from a team, like, at a Ninja Theory or a Team Ninja, they didn't really put too much focus on Samus's chest area, exactly. They just, there were other areas they did that, and I'm just like, they weren't subtle, let's just say.
I think because Sakamoto was adamant that she still got to fit into the suit. I think, he said, no, he said. He was like, look, it can't look too ridiculous.
We
That's what he said.
have ridiculous fan art for that too, so.
I'm sure you do.
So yeah, I mean, that aside, I think the graphics of the game are looking a lot more polished than when we first saw it announced. And I'm actually getting a bit more excited about this game.
See, I'm the opposite of that.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's just I've never been the biggest fan of the Dynasty Warrior series. And yeah, the fact that you're attaching the Zelda name and its characters to, this type of like title, whatever, in system, it's, I don't know, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you play Zelda, whatever? It's not its combat. Combat has always been put back, like, to the back burner. I mean, you could make the exception with Skyward Sword, how with its expanded combat with, the motion controls and Wii Motion Plus, but you've never thought of Zelda as a great action platformer game. I mean, it worked well as far, like, I mean, it's not that it's broken or anything like that, but the thing that you look at it is just exploration and puzzle solving. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, that and yeah, boss fights, but as far as combat, just to one of my enemies, that's not really what it goes to. But this is, I mean, I think right when these screens came out, I think in the Japanese, like, you know, the Japanese Amazon website, it shot up to the top of, the, like, the Wii U charts for, like, pre-order, like, for pre-orders. But I don't see this game kind of selling well in the States. I really got a feeling this is one of those titles, even with the Zelda name attached, it could probably bomb.
I don't think it would do too bad. I mean, there's... What has interested me more so than when I first heard about the project is they are kind of working with Nintendo and adding some new stuff to the this particular game to make it feel a little bit more like Zelda. One of the things is having a Z-targeting system, which hopefully should go a long way in this type of game. And adjusting little things like the new items you unlock come out of things like chests, and it looks like they are paying more than just lip service to the Zelda franchise. It's not just Dynasty Warriors with a Zelda skin to it. They are actually thinking, how can these two series kind of, you know, just be like smashed together, and what can we best get out of it? So I'm hopeful for it. We'll have to wait and see, you know, until we actually play it, how it does actually play, how repetitive is the game going to be.
Well, Nintendo did say the game's like 70 or 75% percent done, so...
Yeah.
And it's just like a little shocking knowing that it's probably coming out in August and... in Japan this August.
But I think it's going to be quite fun just to go through kind of the story on this. I'm hoping the developers will kind of take this opportunity, because it's, I assume it's non-canon, to do something crazy.
it's non-canon.
Exactly, yeah, do something a bit crazy with the Zelda story and just chuck Link into like a weird scenario. And just see how it plays out. I mean, yeah, it'd be cool to have, like, the wacky boss characters you can interact with and who can maybe have a bit more emotion than they would in a normal Zelda game, as in terms of, like, speaking dialogue and stuff like that.
And this is where the game... And this is the one Zelda title which will branch off to the fourth area of the timeline. Crossover games.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dynasty Warriors games traditionally have about a 200-page script or whatever it is. There's a lot of dialogue, and it's all voiced.
So yep. You're saying that we could finally have voice acting in a Zelda title?
Do you think they'll do that for Hyrule Warriors?
I think everyone but Link will be voiced in this.
You know, that...
I think Link would...
Yeah, you're right.
Get a voice? Do you think he'll ever get a voice?
No.
I reckon they will.
He may, but I think he's the type of character that, I mean... Nintendo knows whatever, I mean, whatever, even if you get the best voice actor to do this and better lines, there's still going to be kind of a backlash to it. So I think it'd be best to, yeah, you could find a way to keep him a silent protagonist, but you got to find neat and clever ways to kind of disguise it.
They could just do the Skyrim method. In Skyrim, your character never speaks, you just make the choices. But everyone else is voiced.
Yeah, I mean, there were elements of that in Skyward Sword. I mean, not to the level of Skyrim or even what BioWare puts out, but that's how they kind of hid a lot of the story-heavy elements as far as people speaking. So that's how they kind of hid it.
Yeah, because you'd still kind of choose your option, and you would see Link kind of animate the option opposed to actually speak it, even in text.
Well, I'm going to make my second confession. I've never played Skyward Sword. If you want to cut me off now, do it.
Well, no, that's two people that are going to be cut off. Me for not playing any games the last few weeks, and Colin just admitting that he never liked Mario Kart and never played Skyward Sword, so...
I might get self-kicked off for my performance in Mario Golf, so I think it would just be Holly on her own again.
It'd be Holly.
I haven't played Mario Golf, so yeah, that's where I'm
Rule 5.
Yeah, I don't mean you get kicked off for not playing Mario Golf.
For any Mario sports games, for that matter, except for Sports Mix, which apparently wasn't that great.
Apart from kart, because karting is a sport, remember?
Curling is a great sport. It's great during the Olympics.
Go-karting?
Oh, dear. Yeah. I'm not sure what sort of link I can make out of this one, but the next piece of news we have is there's going to be a GameCube-style controller coming out to the Wii U. This is going to be officially licensed, and it's coming from PDP, who's an accessory-making company. And so yeah, it's going to be officially licensed, and it's looking like this may coincide with a Smash Bros. Wii U release. We've not seen what this controller actually look like. We'll assume it looked like a GameCube controller. But apparently it will act as a classic controller in that it will plug up to the end of a Wii remote, opposed to being a wireless controller in its own right. So yeah, what do we think about this news? Would any of us be interested in picking up one of these contraptions?
I would, but also this helps out the professional Smash Brothers players that were hoping for some type of like controller option for this, so that's gonna help them out. And but I may just go with different options. I think the first one I'm gonna do when I get it is well for the Wii U is I'm gonna try it out the gamepad. I think that'd
Yeah,
be
it's a
my
good option.
first. I mean. That's the beauty of it. It's just you're going through these different options for, I don't know, if you're a professional player out there. I mean, you can use whatever version you want to. Like that's the sky's the limit for it.
Yeah, I think personally, I'm gonna use the Pro Controller. That feels like a nice, robust controller. I've not really had a game to really thoroughly test it. I mean, there's normally, I mean, I tried it for a little bit in like Pikmin 3, but I ended up using the gamepad because the screen functionality was, was quite nice to use. But yeah, I think I'll be using Pro Controller on Smash. At first, I thought it was a bad thing that it was going to be like a classic controller instead of like its own wireless type thing. But I think the reason why they're doing it might be just to get the price down. And so you could, in theory, buy a couple of these without spending too much money because you are kind of just buying like. Because the classic controllers, they were pretty cheap. Because they didn't really
Cheaper
have
than
the innards
the
of a
Pro,
controller.
yeah.
Yeah, because the Wii Remote kind of handles all the actual controller technology, as it were.
Whereas a classic controller right now for the Wii U is around running around $50 or 60.
I think it's 50. You might get like 40 on Amazon. Amazon, discounts everything, but I think the like suggested retail price is 50 for a Wii U Pro controller.
But that thing's worth it for this battery life right now. I remember when it first came, when people first tested out its battery life, it
It's like
averaged around
70 hours, I think.
70 or 80. I'm like, that's worth it.
I mean, compared to the gamepad, the Wii U Pro controller, the face buttons, A, B, X, and Y, they're like down farther, down and to the left farther. And so when I move from the gamepad to like, for example, I'll use the Pro controller to play Mario 3D World. With certain people who want to use the gamepad for some reason. And it's weird. When I want to hit the when I think I'm hitting the A button, I'm just like hitting the plastic of the controller because that's where the A button is on the gamepad. I don't know if anyone else has experienced that, but I will probably be sticking with the gamepad for just about everything that I can.
Yeah, no, makes sense. But there's cool these options, and I'm hoping this will be a cheap option. So, if you don't have a bunch of like, in quotes, more traditional controllers, and everyone may not be happy playing with a Wii remote, then you could can go out and buy like two of these controllers or more, without spending silly money. It would be cool if that was an option. But yeah, no, I'm very intrigued to see how this actually turns out in terms of how it looks and how authentic it will look. The next thing we have on our list is confirmation of another Kickstarter game coming to the Wii U. Now, this is the game we mentioned on last week's show, Red Goddess, which is a 2D action adventure game, and it has finally been funded. It's got about 12 days left to go, I believe, and so they're kind of preparing to try and hit some of their stretch goals. But this game is being confirmed to be coming to the Wii U, which is absolutely awesome. And kind of in continuation to what we were mentioning on the last show, I have now confirmed that there will be a official crossover between Red Goddess and my game Twisted Fusion,
Yay.
which is pretty cool. We were kind of just chucking some ideas back and forth last week, but yeah, we've kind of come to some agreement, which is basically my character Cora is going to be a playable character in Red Goddess, and the main character of Red Goddess, the Divine, is going to be playable in Twisted Fusion, either in one player or in the four player co-op mode. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, how long till we see this character in Smash Brothers?
Well, Well, by the time of each Smash Bros. Game come out, I mean, nah, I don't think it's happening. You never know. The next thing is unfortunately some bad news, which is Ubisoft, you know, the great third-party supporter of the Wii U, is not going to be showing any Nintendo games, either Wii U or 3DS, at E3. And this news comes directly from Ubisoft themselves.
After they started spoiling their entire E3 lineup.
Of course, but yeah, unfortunately, it's not being supported for us.
Yeah, I felt like this was inevitable. Just, it. I mean, I'd written post, whatever, on Nintendo, and I mentioned that around last year that Ubisoft's CEO, which I can't think of the name right now at the moment, his name escaped me. And he mentioned that they would review their their partnership, well, their relationship with Nintendo after probably the 2013 holiday season. And I'm guessing they just were not impressed with that to actually just force themselves to continue making games for it. I mean, the only thing we probably have left for them is probably a Just Dance title and Watch Dogs, which with the latter, I think its future's still a little bit bleak to me. I could easily see that thing being canned probably in the middle of summer.
What,
But
the Wii U edition of Watch Dogs?
that's what I would feel like. But what this puts now is just aside from I guess Sega and but it's and maybe Capcom. I mean, I well then again, I haven't seen much from Capcom lately. Just they're dealing with their own financial burdens at the moment, but this just shows how, when going into E3, Nintendo really needs to kind of hit a home run when it comes to first party titles and that, and they're by themselves now.
Yeah, and it is a shame to kind of see the Ubisoft support drop, but it's hard to kind of point the finger because they have been a great supporter of the system. They were kind of putting games out in parity. That we had like the latest Assassin's Creed day on date with the other systems. Like Ubisoft seemed to treat the Wii U, as an equal compared to what the other developers were doing. And even at launch, we did get some exclusive games. Like we got Zombie U. Obviously, we did have Rayman planned, and it turned multi-platform. But I think we've seen kind of looking back on it, we've kind of seen the justification of why that had to happen in terms of as a business decision for them. But it is a shame because I think the problem is they were putting games out, but the Wii U community wasn't buying them, at least wasn't buying them for the Wii U. Maybe they were buying them on their other systems they own, or maybe just then those types of games didn't interest them and they were just buying their Wii purely for that first party stuff.
Well, that, and I think it has to do with the fact that, how Rayman is sold on there. And those sales, coupled with that, is just, again, if your install base is not just buying anything up for what these third-party publishers are putting out, yeah, they're going to be pulling back support. But it's just, I mean, like I said, I mean, I don't really want to say as far as a hole that the company is in at this moment. It's just, they have a lot to work to do as far as just provide, a steady stream of titles just to keep everybody up. I mean, I feel like, yeah, you have the indie titles and even like the Wii U Virtual Console titles to kind of keep everybody busy in between months, but I don't know, you got to get those the points where if somebody's not interested in buying stuff online, they're just buying exclusively retail, that you've got to give them something.
Yeah, definitely. And so hopefully we'll see the return of Ubisoft support soon. Yeah, it's a shame to see, or at least according to this Ubisoft rep, that we won't be seeing any new games for Nintendo platforms during E3.
When I saw this news, I thought there's two ways you could take it. No Ubisoft games at E3 could mean they're not making Wii U games at the moment. Or they are making Wii U games, they're just not ready to show them yet. Which, I like to think the latter ones, I'm an eternal optimist, so, hopefully.
Yeah, no, that is a possibility, and obviously in the position we are, we're kind of more hopeful that that would be the reality, and hopefully we do see. I'm sure we will see stuff from Ubisoft in the future, but yeah, we're just gonna have to wait a little bit longer. The next piece of information I have is a new Smash announcement. So Ike is returning to Smash Bros. So this one kind of came out of the blue this week.
I think most returning characters like that, they do, but... and I did see some people on Twitter that I mentioned, like, that saw the news right when it hit midnight last night for me in the States, is there were people, like, annoyed with the announcement. Like, they really thought they wanted a new character announcement, but it just... I don't know, I think it's the fact that I think it's, like, is it a clone of Marth or not? You know, like, the fact that you... But when you have Fire Emblem characters, yeah, you're going to get similar fighting styles, but I think between Marth... You know, Marth and Ike were very different, whatever, in Brawl, to be exact. So I don't... They're just representing more characters from Fire Emblem, but I was kind of surprised they used returned Ike as opposed to the newer characters you saw in Awakening.
So yeah, what do we feel about kind of Ike's new appearance, kind of taken from his Radiant Dawn?
Yeah, the older Ike. Yeah, I'm quite happy with it. I mean, makes a change, I suppose. So they can't just say, "Oh, you just copied and pasted Brawl." You know, you actually done some work. Yeah, but it all depends on how they change his fighting style. He's, you know, if they've altered his moves or, you know, what.
I hope his appearance makes him a bit of a heavier character, because I feel like he was slightly overpowered in Brawl. Maybe that's just me, but yeah, maybe he'll be like the same power-ish, but maybe a little slower, and that's what I kind of hope the new visual style indicates, but I don't know. We'll see.
I think you might be correct in your astute observation there. Yeah, I think this kind of heavier armor to him, and like, he looks a bit bigger built as well, doesn't he? I think that might slow him down a bit. And I think that might have been a clever way to balance him.
He's become a beefcake, that's what you're saying.
Okay, and I think we're finally ready to move on to our final feature of this evening, which is our E3 prediction game show.
Yay! Now,
unlike most game shows, I don't actually have the answers at hand. So we're going to have to return to this at a later point in time to actually... to verify who was the most accurate guesser and prediction maker for the E3 prediction game show.
The winner gets total control of Infendo.com. Just let everybody know that.
I am currently working out the paperwork as we speak. I'm writing up the blank contract right now.
For any of your readers out there, if you guess correctly, then you are in the running.
Yeah, if any reader guesses absolutely everything correct.
some more readers just, like, gets total control of it, whatever, and then the next thing you know, it's just spammed with, like, brony stuff or something like that.
I like the faith that you have in our listenership.
I don't mean that for everybody. I just feel like somebody would try to do that and just troll us all and just spam the entire, and, like... should, like, lock us out of the site trying to post.
Yeah. So, yeah, now, I would be very interested in the listeners' thoughts of these questions that we're going to be going through. So, obviously, we're not going to know the actual reveals for a couple weeks. So do email into the show at contact@infendo.com and let us know what your E3 predictions are. And so the game show itself is going to be broken up into a bunch of different segments. The first of which is game announcements, new game announcements. And so I'm going to go through one by one, and we'll go through the order which is on my screen currently. Holly, Colin, and Harrison, and then myself afterwards. And you can either answer, yes, this game will be announced, it's coming for Wii U, yes, for 3DS, yes for both, or no, you don't believe this title is going to be announced at this E3. Okay, and so the first item on the list is, will there be a new 3D Mario, Holly?
Yes. Well, gosh, they say that there's an unannounced game for 3DS that's going to have a big developer conference thing. I'm guessing it's Mario, so there, for the 3DS, yes.
Okay, Colin, 3D Mario.
No.
Harrison. Pretty much.
No on both fronts.
Okay. Now, this one we already kind of have half the answer to, but I'm asking it anyway. New Zelda title, Holly.
Yes, for Wii U.
Okay, Colin?
Yes, for both.
Interesting. And Harrison?
Yes, we will get a Wii U teaser, and I don't think it's going to be playable, but I think we're going to get a Wii U teaser for the next Zelda title for Wii U. Probably that'll come out sometime in 2015.
That's
but
cool.
I will say yes for 3DS, and that my kicker for that, Majora's Mask Remake.
Interesting.
That's what I think.
So, new Metroid. Holly.
Yes, 3DS.
Okay, Colin.
No.
And Harrison.
Yes, on the 3DS, and it will be the game that will be showcased during that that segment for the 3DS title at E3.
Okay, also just realise I've not been answering these yet. So before we get too deep, and we've only gone through three, I'm going to give my three for these ones. For 3D Mario, I think there will be one for the 3DS announced. On Zelda, I think yes, for both in some form. Metroid, I think Wii U announcement. Okay, which brings us on to our next game.
Wait one second, on 3D Mario, what do you feel like as far as 3DS? Do you feel like a sequel to 3D Land, or are we just going to sadly get another new Super Mario Brothers title?
I think it will be a 3D Mario, so 3D Land 2, basically, or something similar.
I think it'll be fairly new and original.
Yeah. Okay, F-Zero, Holly.
No.
Colin.
No.
Harrison.
I'm going with my gut and just saying a pipe dream yes on the Wii U and Amusement Vision, or Sega steps in and makes a sequel to GX. So, yeah, on the Wii U.
I'm actually also going to say yes on the Wii U. Star Fox, Holly.
No.
Colin.
I reckon yes on the 3DS.
Oh, okay. Harrison.
I think it's time for the series to come to finally, you know, make a return that's not a remake of the 64 title, so I'm going to say yes on the Wii U. I think that's going to be one of the bigger first-party reveals.
Yeah. And I'm going to say no for Star Fox. Pikmin, Holly.
No.
Colin.
No.
Harrison.
A definite no. And that's me saying that as someone who loves the series.
Yeah, and I think Pikmin might just be done in general, unfortunately. And I'm gonna say definitely for this year, no announcements.
Well, they may. What if they announce like the first portable entry in the series, Pikmin for 3DS?
Well, they could. Do you wanna change your answer?
No. What they're the only appearance at E3 they will be is when you're trying to load up the streaming service right now. You'll just see Pikmin trying to fix the servers. So that'd be Nintendo's way of like, yeah, we got Pikmin here. Here we go. They're just trying to fix the stream and our servers.
It's keeping the dream alive. So a new game in the Wii franchise. So it's Wii Sports, Wii Fit, Wii Party, Wii Something. Holly.
No.
Colin.
Yeah, Wii U.
Harrison.
I'm just gonna go yes, because I think they need at least one big casual title out there just to kind of hope to get the Wii U moving, but then again, you had Wii Party U and Wii Fit U, so I could be easily Ted wrong on this.
And I'm going to say yes. For Wii U. new WarioWare. Holly.
No.
Colin.
A new Wario World.
Oh, so no WarioWare as in the minigame. Serious.
Okay. I'm going to say 3D.
Okay. Harrison.
No. I think, I'm trying to play the Debbie Downer on this almost from this prediction show, but the way you're saying it, just I'm just gonna go no.
Okay, and I'm gonna say no. New Punch Out, Holly.
I'm gonna continue being the wet blanket and say no.
Colin.
No.
Harrison.
Little Mac is down for the count, so no.
Unfortunately, I agree with you all. No. New Fire Emblem, Holly.
No, we've already got that, what's it called, oh my gosh.
Fire Emblem Cross, Shin Megami Tensei, so that's a
yeah.
That's a yes across for Wii U, I think we know that.
Yeah,
but it's not new, you know, a new announcement. So announcements for Fire Emblem.
Colin?
I'm going to say yes.
For 3DS. For 3DS, okay. Harrison?
No, even though the creators have said that, I think because they thought about shelving this series if Fire Emblem Awakening didn't sell well. So, I mean, yeah, and they actually did sell pretty well as far as both in the States and in Europe, so I think it's just too early for it. I mean, the only thing we're going to get is a Fire Emblem X Shin Megami Tensei probably update.
Okay. And I'm going to say no as well. Next we have Animal Crossing. Holly.
Yes, for Wii U.
Okay. Colin.
No.
Harrison.
No, too early.
I'm going to also join Holly with a yes for Wii U.
So we're divided. Gotcha.
Well, how about this one? We've got two for one deal here. Either 1080 or Wave Race. Holly.
Oh, man. If I'm just saying what I hope, then it's a yes, but I'm going to say no.
Okay. Colin?
No, that didn't vary.
Harrison?
My hope for any of these games just getting out right now is just very slim, so no. I don't see them reviving that series. It's just... Again, the only series I said I hope they revive right now is going to be Star Fox.
Yeah, I mean, after seeing what they've managed to do with the graphics in Mario Kart, I would love to see, like, a new Wave Race game come out. It would look gorgeous. But
no, yeah, it would. I mean...
Unfortunately, my answer is no. I don't think it's going to happen. Next, we have a new Advance Wars. Holly.
No.
Colin.
I'm going to say yes for Wii U.
Ooh, all right, interesting. Harrison.
Yes, on the 3DS.
And I'm going to join you there, Harrison. Yes, on the 3DS. A new Golden Sun, as teased earlier. Holly.
Yes, for the 3DS.
Colin.
Yes, 3DS.
Harrison.
It's not happening.
No.
It's not. I'm sorry to get everybody's hopes up.
I think it's too soon, unfortunately. Maybe next year, but no, for Golden Sun. A new Mario Sport game of some sort. It's quite a broad option here. Holly?
I'll say yes for the Wii U.
What kind of Mario Sports, though?
Oh, it doesn't matter. You can add something if you want, but it won't affect the score.
The soccer one. I don't know. Strikers. That one.
I love it. Colin?
No.
Harrison?
Which one are we on again?
Some sort of Mario Sport game.
I'm going to say yes, and this is my out-of-left-field prediction, but I think the time is right, everybody. I think the time is right we finally get a Mario Curling. A full-fledged Mario Curling game.
Does it come with some sort of big plastic accessory you can scratch across your Wii U screen?
Yes. Yes, it does, and it comes with the warnings, like, you must need this so-and-so amount. You need at least about 90 feet of room and ice to actually, and two other players' brooms to actually play this, so yeah.
So yeah, I'm not going to be as specific as you, Harrison, but I'm going to say there's going to be some sort of new Mario Sport game announced for the Wii U. I think it would be likely to be either tennis or golf, but yeah, one of those. New Kirby game, Holly.
No.
Colin?
No, too soon.
Harrison?
Yeah, same with Colin, just to... Well, no, too soon on that one. It's the same.
Okay. A new Pokemon game. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be mainstream, just a game with Pokemon in the title. Holly?
Yes, for Wii U.
Colin?
No.
Harrison?
I want my Pokemon MMORPG, but...
Don't be that sick.
No.
It bites you in the bum.
No. We're not getting a full-fledged Wii U version.
Okay. I'm going to say yes for both. So we're going to have some sort of new spin-offs on both systems. And the final game I have in this category is Donkey Kong. Holly?
No.
Colin?
No.
Harrison?
We will get a 3DS remake of Tropical Freeze.
Yeah. I'm going to join you there, Harrison. Yeah, is that what you said?
I cringed when you just said that.
It's a cop-out. I know. It's just... Yeah, here's a new game. Here's Donkey Kong 3DS. Oh, what is it? It's Tropical Freeze again. With awesome, well, cool.
I think Return sold pretty well on the 3DS.
Oh, it did. It did. It sold just as well as the Wii version. So.
So if I was Nintendo, I would get someone to remake or port it across. Apparently, it's quite easy money. Anyway, we'll move on now to the Zelda category. Nintendo has mentioned that Zelda will be shown at E3 for the Wii U early on in the year. So we got a bunch of different questions here on what it might actually be. And now these are going to be more kind of broader answers to before. It's not just yes or no's. But the first thing we have here is the art style. Holly, what do you think it might look like? And you can kind of refer to other games if you think it might be like Wind Waker or Skyward Sword or Twilight Princess or something.
Well, I'm just going to throw this out there. It's not what I want, but I'm going to go with like kind of a Twilight Princess level of maturity.
Okay. So similar to the tech demo, maybe, we saw on the
Kinda.
Wii U. Kinda. Okay.
But I didn't like that, honestly, so yeah, I don't
I didn't
want
either.
That, but I'm
but that's what you think we might get, though. Okay, Colin, what do you think it might look like?
Yeah, I think it had that darker style that the tech demo had. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to say, yeah, Twilight Princess-ish.
Okay, and Harrison?
I don't think it's going to be in the same vein of the tech demo we saw 2 years ago. Or was that 2 years? 2 or 3 years ago? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, mine would be 3 now, because it was... I think we saw that video on this, you know, the same E3 we saw the initial E3 announcement. Sorry, not E3, the Wii U announcement.
Yeah, I think you were... Yeah, you are right. I think that was initially out there. I don't think they're going to go in the same route they did with Skyward Sword, where it was just a combination of both the Wind Waker and Twilight Princess styles. I think they're going to have to find a way to find some different atmosphere to kind of combine it. I mean, I could probably... It's hard for me to say. I don't want them to favor Wind Waker. I don't want them to favor Twilight Princess style. I'm just going to say it's going to be a completely new style that they haven't tackled. I don't know what that means. Like, it's very vague, but we could see something as far as, like, a total redesign when it comes to the Zelda franchise. Something that we... I don't know. I'm just going to say it's going to be a completely new art style.
And see, that's probably a lot more safer answer than what I'm about to say. But I think it's going to be like meant to kind of look like an anime. In terms, it's going to have kind of hard outlines for the characters. And it's going to be mostly cel-shaded. But the characters themselves are going to be more kind of humanly proportioned than, like, Wind Waker was.
So you're saying, like, as far as anime, like, you know, an anime-influenced style, are we talking more Miyazaki, or are we talking more Pokemon anime, where basically the little big drop of sweat's on their head when they're just, like, mad or something?
Oh, no, like a more, slightly more mature type anime.
So you reckon a blend between Wind Waker and Twilight Princess?
Kind of. So it's almost kind of like what Skyward Sword was, but instead of, like, a painting aesthetic, it will be... with, like, that cel-shaded and, you know, yeah, dark outlines. Yeah, I think that's what they might try and do with this one. And so it can kind of be edgy at point, but it can also be very colourful. The next thing we have here is, are they going to take the same approach as A Link Between Worlds and you can tackle dungeons in any order? Holly?
Yes.
Colin?
Absolutely. No question.
Harrison?
They've started with A Link Between Worlds. I feel like they'll do this, but they'll kind of put it into a... There'll be a way where you can lock certain dungeons, but I think there's a way you can tackle certain ones. Yeah, so... Yeah, they'll continue on with that.
Yeah, so they've kind of vaguely suggested this might be a direction to go down. So I agree with all you guys, and yes, I think it's something they will commit to. Another thing they kind of alluded that they might attempt is multiplayer, or some sort of not playing it alone. So... do we think there's going to be some sort of an assist multiplayer? Possibly like we saw in like Mario Galaxy, that type of thing. Holly?
I'm going to say no.
Colin?
No, I think it'll be like strictly Miiverse integration.
Sure. Harrison?
I don't... I'm just going to put it out there. Yeah, they're going to put something in there, but it's probably when it initially comes out, it's going to be dumbed down, and it's not going to expand the franchise as far as into away from being solely a single-player experience.
So it's going to be more like the Tingle Tuna than Four Swords. Okay. And for myself, I'm going to think no, because of what my answer is on the next bit. Which is quite an odd one to ask, but do you reckon this could be one of the first mainstream Zelda game to have traditional multiplayer? Holly?
No.
Colin?
No, I don't think they'll change the formula too much.
Okay. Harrison?
I'm with Colin and both Holly on this. I think they're not going to favor, you know, like what people are wanting as far as to get a multiplayer experience, because I feel like that's something that Zelda does not belong in. I mean, if you wanted that, you'd do a Four Swords style type of gameplay, but yeah, it's like mixing that in Metroid Prime, you know, with a multiplayer in there. I feel like it's just a recipe for disaster.
And on that note, I'm going to say yes. Whether it's good or bad, I think they're going to try and strike some balance between normal Zelda and Four Swords, and have a lot of puzzles aimed around two characters solving them, and you can either have a second human player, or you'll have some sort of AI character, which hopefully has decent AI. That's my prediction. Next, release window. Will we have a sort of release window announced? And if so, what is your prediction it will be? Holly.
Oh. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I don't have a window, though.
Do you want to label a year, maybe?
Oh man. Do you think 2015 is too soon?
That's up to you, isn't it? 2015?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay.
Whatever. You never know.
Yeah. Colin?
Yeah, I think we will. Just to keep expectations. And I think summer. Quarter two, 2015.
Okay. And Harrison?
Well, we'll get just 2015 on there. That's it.
Okay, I think I'm going to have to agree with you, Harrison. Whether it sticks to the date is not really up to question here, but I reckon 2015 is a date which will be announced alongside the game. Next thing, will there be any NFC support announced during E3 for this Zelda game? Holly?
No, but it may be announced later.
Sure. Colin?
Well, they're really pushing it for Super Smash Bros., so I'm going to say yes.
Harrison?
I'm with Holly on this one. I think it probably won't be implemented until later. They're probably going to test it out with Smash Bros.
Okay, I'm going to say yeah. I don't think NFC is going to be discussed for Zelda during E3. And the final question we have is pretty open for one. Anything specific you would like to predict for this Zelda game? Holly?
Yeah, I can't really think of anything. Just seems like Nintendo, especially when it comes to the Zelda series, for me anyway, gosh, I'm probably the only one who feels this way, but I feel like Nintendo just, they deliver with Zelda what you didn't know you wanted a lot of the time, and so I just got nothing. I just kind of put it in Nintendo's hands and expect greatness out of it.
Okay, Colin.
Yeah, new feature. I want them to do, hopefully, I hope that's what they're going to do, is go to a more open world structure. If they're going to have dungeons in any order, it'd be great if it was a huge place to explore. Because Wind Waker was like that. You know, once you got the boat and the Wind Waker, you can go wherever you like. It's great. So I'm hoping they return to that sort of style.
Okay, and Harrison.
I don't think the features that we will see that are innovative won't be shown that early, because I think this thing's going to go through two E3s to be shown. But I will say the one biggest addition that they're going to be putting in this that's been long-awaited, voice acting.
Okay. And for myself, I'm going to leave it as I think this game, at least the visual tone of it, will have more in common with Majora's Mask than the rest of the franchise. And we'll now jump on now to Nintendo NFC predictions. The first of which... do you have any specific games that you think will feature NFC? Either games that we already know that are in development, or games that you think may be predicted at E3? Holly.
I think, and this is pretty obvious, but I think Super Smash Bros. For Wii U is going to be a big one that will have NFC functionality. Other than that, I'm just going to throw Hyrule Warriors out there.
Okay. And Colin?
Yeah, I was going to say Hyrule Warriors. That's the only one I think that can, they can integrate it smoothly. The games that we know, I don't know. I don't think any other games will have it.
Is that including Smash Bros?
Smash Bros. Well, they're pretty, I think Smash Bros. Will have it.
Okay. Harrison.
I think it's just going to be Smash Brothers to be the forefront and the catalyst to actually show these type of like figures out there. I mean, I think it's a great way to start it because you will start with these just recognizable characters, and I'm sure they're going to find a way to actually use it to unlock abilities, or maybe, I don't know, use it to, I'm trying to think, use it to unlock trophies or maybe extra stages or something like that. The possibilities are out there for it, but again, Smash Brothers feels like the perfect title to actually start this because you have a treasure trove of Nintendo characters to start out with, except with just not starting on one franchise.
Okay. And for myself, I also agree. I think Smash Bros. Is going to feature NFC, and I think they're going to talk about it at E3. But I also think there's going to be some kind of Pokemon spin-off game which will be announced, which will heavily feature NFC, and it be being a part of this new platform opposed to the attempt that they made with Pokemon Rumble U. The next question we've got, any type of prediction on what's the actual functionality going to be on NFC? Because it's been very vague what they've mentioned so far. Holly.
I'm going to go with what Harrison was talking about with Super Smash Bros. I think I mentioned this on a previous show, but there's AR idol cards for Kid Icarus Uprising. I think NFC figures are going to do the same type of thing in Super Smash Bros. For Wii U. Just unlock trophies and just be cool to keep on your desk, which will be nice. I can't think of any Nintendo franchise that would feature NFC functionality super heavily, so really that's all I got.
Okay, Colin.
I agree with Holly 100% about the AR cards and stuff.
Okay.
That's what I got.
Sure. Harrison?
I think, as I mentioned in the previous section on here, I think it's just going to have to deal with unlocking stages or upping your character stats or probably online. That's where I think it's going to go to.
Excellent. I pretty much feel the same as you guys. I feel they may talk about how you could move, and it won't be exclusive across the whole platform, but in certain circumstances, you can take a character from one game and put it into another game if you have the correct figure and you have played both games. I think they're going to do some mention of that. I'm not sure how they're going to control that message, but I think that's something they'll talk about. And next we have pricing. First, will it be discussed? And second, if it is, what do you reckon assuming they all cost the same, a NFC Nintendo figure will cost in dollars? Holly?
I'm guessing they are going to talk about pricing. Not super, heavily or anything like that, but they'll mention it. And the pricing for an individual figure, those little Pokemon Rumble U figures were like $4 each, which seemed pretty expensive. So for, figures that are maybe a little bigger, I'm imagining they're probably going to be fairly expensive too. Maybe $5 or $6, maybe $7, possibly $10 even for just an individual figure. We'll see.
So what's your final answer, 10?
We'll go with 8. That's
8, okay, excellent.
Number. $7.99.
Oh, okay. Colin?
No, I don't think they're released pricing just yet.
Okay, Harrison.
$10. Save up those pennies, kids.
Kids are going to hate me because I think they're going to go for $15 each. So obviously, yes for pricing for me as well. And finally, for an NFC section, do we have any sort of prediction of when this platform is going to launch? Which is basically, when is the first game going to come out? / when are you going to be able to buy the first figures? Holly.
Fall. Fall of this year.
Fall of this year. Okay, Colin?
I'm going to say quarter four of this year.
Okay.
Time for the holiday season.
Yep, sure. And Harrison?
I... probably around when Smash Bros. Wii U launches.
Okay. And for myself, I'm going to sneak in a little bit earlier. I'm going to say third quarter of this year is when they're going to be start releasing the figures. So our next segment is all about Smash Bros. And our first question around Smash Bros. Is around new character announcements. And now this one isn't limited to any particular one answer. But what new character or characters do you think will be revealed? Or none is a perfectly fine option to have. Holly.
My wish is for either Crom or Lucina to make it into the roster. Can these be returning characters too?
Yeah, so these basically can be any character which isn't confirmed yet for these games.
Well, I'm going to throw out Captain Falcon, Ness... Jigglypuff.
So all the returning characters.
Yep.
Okay. And I guess you've said your hopes for new characters, haven't you?
Yeah. I can't think of any others, really. I'm kind of sad that way, I guess.
Colin, what are your thoughts on new characters?
Yeah, I think they will. I think Crom will be announced.
Okay.
Remind me again, where's Crom from? I'm good. Slap me, I know. Fireball.
Awakening.
Oh, wait, okay, good. All right, that's where I thought. I was like, thought that name sounded familiar. I know.
Yeah. That's the safe answer. The wacky answer, the one I really wanted to show, is Simon Belmont.
Okay.
Another third-party character.
Yeah.
It could happen. We've seen Stranger Things. We've had Solid Snake in our series before.
Yeah, it won't happen. But...
So, Harrison.
All right, returning characters. Captain Falcon, Jigglypuff, either Ness or both Lucas... Ness or Lucas, Wario, and as far as new characters, I really think they may put Wonder Red in there. I think that's my left field out there, and the one that I really hope they do, even though certain trailers have showed him to be a boss on there, but Metroid series needs to be, has more characters. I'm holding out hope for Ridley. It has to happen.
Okay, moving on. Are you actually going to agree with your Ridley answer there? I know they pretty much confirmed him as a stage boss, but they didn't actually say it, which makes me think that Sakurai is just being a tease, as always.
I don't care how big he is. You look at Bowser, look how size he was in Mario 64 and how much they compensate for that. They could do the same thing.
Yeah, and don't think this size fiasco has gone unnoticed by Sakurai. He will be joining us... during the announcement about his size, probably telling us why he couldn't be a character, and at what point just making him a character anyway. I think the old... all the characters from the original Smash Bros. Will be announced or confirmed for this one. I think Ridley as well. And for a left-field option, I think there will be a character from Xenoblade Chronicles / the new game X. I think they will make a character from them, whether it's one we actually know of yet. But yeah, I think that series will get some sort of representation in Smash Bros. Now, our next Smash question is, what do you think the actual connectivity is going to be between the 3DS and Wii U versions? Holly?
I got nothing. I'm serious. I hope it'll be good. Absolutely nothing.
Nah, that's fine. Colin?
I think that there's going to be a new feature in this game which allows you to customise your favourite character. And you can transfer that between systems.
Okay. And Harrison?
Well, this is really tricky for me because I would say something like with the 3DS, but you have that gamepad option, well, the touchscreen option with the gamepad. So, as far as the connectivity, maybe it's used for unlockables. You need to connect them to unlock certain trophies or something like that to get each versions, or you can use them to... Like, for instance, I could see it probably, like, you need to beat a certain event stage with a 3DS or a 2DS. But, It's really confusing what they could do with this, because I'm just, the only way I could probably say is like, oh, they could use it like the connectivity like they have with the Game Boy Advance and GameCube, but we know how that happened and how that thing slowly burned, faded away.
Okay, my prediction is going to be, not that you're necessarily transferring characters back and forth, but you essentially transfer your profile. And the benefits of this are, there's going to be like, you can earn certain things through Street Passes and Spot Passes on your 3DS, and that stuff can be transferred up to the Wii U version, at which point the online matches or the unique stuff in the Wii U version will kind of build up your profile rank or your level or whatever sort of system they have. And I'm not sure if this is have any sort of impact on gameplay. It might like increase how you unlock things, or like some other sort of mode they've not talked about yet may benefit from you having a higher ranked or a better scored profile. But yeah, I think there will be incentives to kind of transferring this back and forth between your Wii U and your 3DS and doing the different things from those different games. And finally, on Smash. Something we've touched on already, NFC compatibility. One, is it going to be a thing? And second, how would it be used for Smash? Holly?
Well, I'm going to say yes again. That it's going to be compatible. As for functionality, I was actually thinking further on that, and Colin mentioned something about customizing characters and being able to transfer them between the two different versions. I'm thinking maybe that could actually be an NFC figure thing, because in Super Smash Bros. For Wii U and 3DS, you'll actually be able to customize your movesets to a degree, power-wise and speed-wise, I guess. And I'm thinking maybe you'll be able to associate that to an NFC figure and like take it to your friend's house and have your data on your little figure, and yeah, that's kind of something that came to my mind.
Okay, Colin.
Yeah, that's a lot of I don't know. I reckon there will be compatibility, but I've got no idea on functionality.
That's no problem. Okay, Harrison?
I stand by my predictions. I think further on when we talked about NFC on there, I feel like it's just going to be using for unlocking maybe certain assist trophies or just trophies you can have in the game. And, you know, I kind of go off as far as like Holly's idea where you can use this to build up your stats or whatever for your character and bring that over to a friend's house. But then again, you could easily do that maybe with online, but again, it's the fact that Nintendo doesn't do anything cross console promotions when it comes to online, so I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, yeah, and as you said about unlocking trophies, it would be cool if, like, the trophies looked the same as the actual figures themselves. It would seem like we kind of come around in a circle where the original game was about, you know, a kid putting down Nintendo figurines on his table, and then they kind of came to life, and that's the game you actually played. Be cool if they kind of went back to that idea and just kind of reminded us that they are actually kind of figures that come to life and back to figures again. In terms of what I think, yeah, I think it's going to use the NFC, and yep, I pretty much agree with what Holly said here. Yeah, I think the character customizations can be saved to the figures, and eventually when the 3DS kind of reader comes out, you'll be able to use that to, you know, bring that over to the 3DS again. And I think there will also be figures which aren't, you know, pretty much what Harrison said, which aren't to do with the actual characters, but are just based on some of the trophies, maybe just some of the rarer trophies, maybe they're exclusive, which would be quite mean of Nintendo. But if you
have to,
them,
yeah, you have to buy. It's like, I need trophies. Well, you need to buy this $20 figurine if you want to complete it.
Yeah, and yeah, you just put it on the reader, and you get that figure as a trophy, as it were. And hopefully they would have some crazy designs to warrant the purchase. We move on now to, again, something Nintendo mentioned earlier on in the year, which is the quality of life platform. So the first question I'm going to ask here is, will this be mentioned / announced / detailed any further than what they have so far? Holly?
I'm going to say no, just no.
Okay, Colin?
I'm going to say yes. I think it will.
Okay, and Harrison?
We're talking about quality of life, correct?
We are, yes.
It'll be announced, but as far as detailed,
So will they talk about it any more than they have already, basically?
Yes, I think we'll find out what it really is.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of the key answer there. I also think they basically will let us know what it is to some degree, more so than they have already. And so the next question is going to be, is this something physical that you can go out and buy? Or is it something which is going to exist that you can just access on the web or on a smartphone app or something? Because what they've told us so far, it's a bit vague what they're actually going for on this. So, Holly, I know you've already said that you don't think they're going to talk about it anyway, but if they were, do you think this is going to come out in the form of something physical you can go out and buy, or it's software?
I'm going to go with hardware.
Okay, and Colin?
Yeah, I think hardware.
Harrison?
Again, I don't think we'll see more about it. I think we'll just know what it is, like what they're planning to do. I don't think we'll see if it's either hardware or software.
Oh, okay. So you're thinking some very vague answers from Nintendo.
Yeah, that's what we're going to get, because I feel like this is going to be a conference that's just going to detail just first-party games.
Yeah, that's a valid answer. And I'm actually going to say both on this one. I think it's going to exist both in a physical form, and you can get the full experience on something like a smartphone or on your computer, if you so wish to. The next question, again, we're kind of narrowing down the relevance of these questions. If this is a physical thing, do you imagine this more so like a DS / Game Boy, or is it more like a console you plug up to your TV? Holly?
TV thing.
TV.
Colin?
Yes, I think it'll be a TV thing.
Okay, Harrison?
I think it will as well.
So was that TV as well?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm actually... It's a risky one to say, but again, I'm going to kind of do both. And I'm going to let Nintendo answer how that's possible. Because I can't, but I'm sure they can. And so the final question I've got here on quality of life is just any sort of specifics that come to mind. Do you think what quality of life might be, or something specific they may talk about it? Holly?
Well, I don't think it's going to be like a fitness thing. Because I think Nintendo has mentioned that quality of life, like, you have your needs, your basic needs. And after you meet your needs, there's, like, your wants. And a lot of what you want is entertainment, I think. And that's, like, Nintendo's idea. So it's going to be an entertainment device for sure. Or, you know, something or other. I don't think it's going to be, a fitness thing. Not a really fitness-based thing, anyway. I don't know.
Okay. Colin?
I've got no idea. It could be anything.
Yeah.
No idea.
Cool. And Harrison?
Hands up in the air on this. Again, it just... this is... I have to see it, what it really is. Again, it's just going to be vague answers.
Okay, and my prediction on this is it's essentially going to be Nintendo's cheap console. And I think the focus on it is going to be some of the more casual successes they had. So I think there'll be some form of Wii Fit on this, some form of brain training, some form of Wii Sports, possibly some form of like new Super Mario Bros. I think it's going to be focused more around like the more simpler games that they put out, whether they're, you know, great or not experiences, but in terms of not the most complex ideas, I don't think you'll be seeing like Zelda and such in it. But I think it will be kind of aimed as this kind of third pillar game console, which is for the masses. And that's my prediction around quality of life. So yeah, I agree with Holly. I don't think it's going to be like a fitness-based thing, which a lot of people are predicting. And so now we have got down to our second to last round here. And which is all about games which we know already exist and are coming out to the Wii U at some point. And so we have a list of six games here. And I'm going to go down them and we're going to... kind of decide if we think we're going to get a confirmed release date or anything specific that you think might be announced which hasn't been about these games. And so the first one on our list is X. Holly, when do you think X is coming out, or if you've got any X-related predictions?
I see what you did there. Do you have any X-related?
Well, at the very least, I think they're going to announce, like, the actual name for the game. I think they will also announce like a date, maybe a date, because I think it's going to be coming out this year, and I'm thinking sometime in November. That's just a random thought.
Colin.
I completely agree with Holly. I mean, they'll show the name, and it'll flash on a third quarter release date, I think.
Okay, and do you also think it's coming out this year? Okay, Harrison?
I think we're going to see an October release date. Yes, we're going to see a name change, and I think we're going to see a bigger full-length story, like to where we see what the story is.
Okay, I think we're going to, again, yep, I think we're going to see the name, possibly, you know, most likely Xeno something. I don't think we're going to be seeing it this year, but I think it's going to look amazing. the next game we have, though, is Bayonetta 2. Holly.
I'm going to say September, August.
Okay.
Release date. Is that crazy?
No, it's been announced for almost 2 years, so.
Colin.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I think it'll be around October release date, but yeah. I think I just should have reset.
Okay, and Harrison?
It's going to be September, and the change will be that it will no longer be Wii U exclusive. No, I'm too mean on that one, no. No, I think we'll just get a quick reel of that during the showing, because I think we've seen so much of it so far, so.
So yeah, I do think it's coming out this year. I think it's going to be coming out in October. And, yeah, I don't have any more specific predictions around it. Next up we have, though, is Fire Emblem Cross Shin Megami. Holly, when's this coming out?
Well, I'm not sure if that's going to be the name of the game, so I'm thinking we're going to get an official name for the game, and that's all. I don't think we're going to get a release date. Maybe a window, though.
Will we find
out
what the game is?
Yeah.
That's good. Okay.
That's about it. That's all I got on that one.
Well, I think we'll get a release date or a release window of 2015, spring 2015. Name, I think they'll just keep it. Why not?
And Harrison?
I think we're going to get a... this is going to slip into next year, probably maybe January or sometime in March of next year. And I've got nothing on changes. I mean, I think we're just going to see probably a grander, like, you know, a game that's going to be a top-down, like, strategical game that we've come to know probably on the 3DS.
Okay. For myself, I think it's just going to have a 2015 window to it. Yeah, I think we'll get a new name, we actually get to find out what the game is, we'll get some video of it. May even be playable, not entirely sure. And yeah, I think it's going to play pretty much like Fire Emblem, opposed to Shin Megami. Yeah, and that's my predictions on that. The next we have is Hyrule Warriors. Holly.
We're going to get some more playable characters announced, and a release date of October.
Colin.
Well, they said that Hyrule Warriors was just a tentative title. But I can't see them changing it now, because everyone knows what it is. So I think that will be its name, and it will come out around September, October.
Okay, Harrison?
I see this coming out in November, just kind of in tradition of most console-based Zelda titles, even though this is a spin-off and not traditional. Like Colin said, you know, this is not a final title, Hyrule Warriors, but something tells me, even with the font that they're going to kind of the same way that we've seen past Zelda titles, I still think they may figure out a way to put the Zelda name into that just so it can help its with its sales here in the States.
Okay. And sorry, did you say a release for that?
I said November. November. I feel like that'd be a welcome time, and I think it's going to be out in Japan late August or early September.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on the release, I think, November as well. In terms of the name, I think Hyrule Warriors is going to stick. And yeah, I'm going to agree with Holly that I think there's going to be some new playable characters announced. I think ones that we know of from the Zelda series. I think possibly we might see something Majora's Mask related pop in there. But I think we see some sort of fairly big Zelda-related characters announced as playable characters for this game. The next game is one we've not heard much from since its initial announcement. In fact, we haven't heard anything since the initial
I think it was like 2012, or no, not 2012, 2013 is the last time we've heard about this. Like, early 2013.
Yeah, which is Yarn Yoshi. Holly.
We might get a name for it and some gameplay footage. Possibly a release date, I don't know. I almost feel like Nintendo's just gonna, never mind about this game. Like, just cancel the whole thing, possibly. But we'll
Oh,
see.
okay. And Con.
I think I could see. I showed a trailer at E3, and it was saying like a, I don't know, September release date, I suppose.
Okay, and Harrison?
I think this could be a November release date as well, and I don't see it being cha name changed. I don't know. That's just me.
Okay, I think it is gonna come out this year. So we will get the name. We're gonna get a lot of footage about this, and just kind of a lot of just information in general about the game. And I think it's gonna come out quarter four this year at some point. Not entirely sure where within it will land. And the last game in this segment we have is Smash Bros. For the Wii U. We already have a window as such is for it. So this is more so, do you think that they will stick to it? Do you think they'll go any more specific during E3 when it will land? Or will there be any changes or delays to it? Holly.
I think there actually will be a specific release date announced for the game sometime in November or December.
Okay. Colin?
Yeah, I think they'll show a release date. I'll put up a flashy trailer like I always do. Maybe a release date at the end of it.
Cool. And oh, and sorry, do you think it's still going to be end of this year?
Yeah, I do,
Okay.
absolutely.
And Harrison?
I'm already crowding up this November of this year, so I'm going to stick by it and say we're going to get three Nintendo published first party titles in November.
Awesome, I can't wait. Yeah, I think it's going to be right at the end of the year. I think it's going to be in December. But yeah, definitely this year. Which takes us to our final bonus rounds.
Is there prizes?
There may be, well, apparently ownership of the site. That's only if you get absolutely everything correct, though. The two questions we have are: do we think there's going to be any returning franchise that we haven't gone through, which will make some sort of grand return during this E3? Holly.
I'll say yeah.
Actually, I'm going to specify for this one. There's no like losing points for saying no and playing safe. So best to just go wild and pick something.
I'll say yeah. I don't know. What's a good returning franchise? Let's just, I mean, I said Star Fox earlier. I said that Star Fox wouldn't
Pushmo.
be announced, but
Pushmo will return.
I'll take Star Fox if that's going to be your answer.
yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, earlier I said that I don't think they will announce a new Star Fox, but I think if they did announce a returning franchise that we haven't seen in a long time, Star Fox is probably the most likely.
Okay, Colin.
I can't see them bringing back any franchises, but they're going to expand on one that's already got quite a lot of push going towards it, and that's Zelda. We're going to have the Year of Zelda, right? We're going to have Majora's Mask and everything else come out for it, and they'll make a big deal out of it, like the Year of the Wii.
Okay. And Harrison?
I'm going to give you a vignette. I'm going to give you a little anecdote for this one. All right. I do believe there'll be a returning franchise. During the Nintendo Digital event, I feel like this may be one of those last titles they show off, and the room goes dark. I know this is not a traditional E3 press conference, but you know, I'm sure that I think they said they were going to have like a stage, but it's going to be like a closed off thing, whatever. It's not going to be grandiose what we see at the Nokia Theater. Room goes dark. You see stars. You're just paging through space, and you see a voiceover. You don't know who it is, and then it goes black. And then you hear a clip of Pepe Hare saying, "Do a barrel roll." In comes the trailer for Star Fox. There you are.
See, for a moment then, I thought you were going to do some sort of Star Tropics prediction.
If that would have happened, I think everybody would just have to, would just be confused, collect their thoughts for about like 5 or 10 seconds, and then it would just be a delayed applause from everyone who's online. They're like, what just happened?
Okay, and my crazy prediction here is there's going to be a new entry to the Earthbound / Mother series coming out to the Wii U.
I
in glorious HD.
I know it's a prediction, but I'm just going to be like, you are so going to like lose this.
Okay, and the final question we have, and this does include the quality of life platform, if it's what it turns out to be. But will there be any new systems released? This doesn't necessarily mean a successor. This could be what the DSi was to the DS, and I just add new stuff. But do we think there's going to be some sort of new hardware system from Nintendo announced? Holly?
I'll say yeah. Maybe a... Well, actually, I don't know. I'll say yeah. I don't know. I'm going to say no. I'm just going to say no on that.
Okay. Resist temptation. Colin? No? Okay. Simple. Harrison?
The company's gone too far with this console, so I'm going to say no. But, maybe an updated Wii U, probably with more memory.
Keeping the gamepad, though.
yeah. I think they will. I think that they're just going to continue stubbornly to stick with it.
64 gig model of Wii U. Okay, I think we're gonna see a new iteration of the 3DS in some form. I reckon possibly they're gonna be retiring the original 3DS and kind of update that to kind of more of the stylings of the XL. So possibly giving it a bigger screen while keeping the size of the system the same, and just making it look a bit more smart, or maybe just making it a bit thinner, giving it a better battery, something. But I think they're going to be replacing that the original 3DS model with something a bit newer. To sit alongside the XL and the 2DS.
3DS XL Lite.
That's too much. It's like, it's kind of a misnomer. It's like, is it big, light, what?
It could be the 3DS Micro of all things. Fit it on your keychain.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Could be like a little one of the little things you dangle at the end of a smartphone. Okay, and that brings us to the end of the E3 prediction game show.
There is one new item on there.
There is a... What have I missed?
Predict a new franchise.
Oh, I did put that one on there. That is on a third page of mine, which is just that in itself. Okay, so this final question. And, yeah, a huge amount of points go to anyone who gets this correct. If Nintendo is to announce a brand new franchise with a new IP, how would you, in most vaguest terms, describe this? Holly, what is Nintendo's new game they've yet to announce? Is it a platformer?
Maybe it's an RPG. Maybe that's what Retro Studios is working on. It's an RPG. There. That's my prediction.
Okay, I'm just because I want to try and get as... Because we're not going to get as specific as possible. Is this going to be a cartoony RPG or a realistic RPG?
Cartoony.
Is it going to be first person or third person?
Come on now.
That's my final question.
Third.
Okay, so you're predicting a fairly realistic third-person RPG from Retro Studios. Okay, Colin.
Yeah, sure. Right.
What's Nintendo's next game?
They're going to expand their Wii series.
Okay.
They're going to take away Nintendo Dogs and Cats.
Okay.
And they're going to bring in Wii Vet.
Wii Vet. Okay, so a whole range of different animals, is this?
Indeed. I really thought it through. I'm just all make up as I go along.
Sorry. And so I guess on the gamepad, you can kind of use that as the bottom screen of the DS, so you can use that to to wash your pets and the Freedom Frisbees?
Yes.
Yeah?
No, it'll be like trauma center style. Trauma center times.
Operating on a pet. That and just operating on pets? Oh, man. Oh, I don't think I can bear that.
That's a million seller right there.
definitely.
That's not only a million seller, that's M-rated there for very graphic scenes of operation and bodily organs of pets.
It'll be on the Wii U. It'll be in glorious HD, as realistic as humanly possible.
Yeah, because yeah, you see the graphics of the when the Nintendogs pops up on the Smash Bros. Screen.
Does this include a euthanasia option? Oh God, I've gone too far.
Okay, I don't feel I need to add any follow up questions to this one. So Harrison, what's Nintendo's next experience?
We are going to get a new IP from Shigeru Miyamoto. And considering how, from games during the NES and Super Nintendo, they were based on, you know, him adventuring through the woods of his woods of his childhood home. Pikmin, of course, was for his love of gardening. And Nintendogs was based on, you know, on his, like, his own dogs. Like, I believe he owned, Shelties were his dogs. And so that was surrounded. I feel like we're going to get something that's surrounded by, it's going to be, get ready for this.
So what has he been up to recently? Because I've not been keeping track.
this is going to be revolving around, inside Miyamoto's dreams.
Okay.
I don't know how it's going to be third or first or what type of engine it's going to run on, but it's just going to be more into the mind of Miyamoto.
So I'm hoping it's not quite like the latest Mario and Luigi game, where you kind of tickle Luigi's nose to affect his dreams with a photorealistic Shiggy on your Wii U gamepad.
Thank you for the nightmare fuel. Aside from
and,
Wii Vet.
And that could be the title of the game. For myself, I think Nintendo are going to, I'm not sure via which developer, but have some sort of first-person shooter type game. I think it's going to be more traditional than the Metroid Prime series. I think it's going to be quite colourful, opposed to being a realistic type game. But yeah, I think it's going to be based around kind of competitive shooting, but some sort of Nintendo magic applied to it. So it doesn't quite look or feel quite like everything else which is out there. But yeah, just so they kind of got some sort of coverage of that genre. That does finally take us to the end of our E3 Game Show Predictions Hour.
I'm so going to own this website after this predictions.
Did anyone record all of our predictions? I'm not sure if I can remember all that.
Oh, well, we have the evidence in the form of a podcast. If needed.
I thought you were saying, I thought you were going to say, like, are we all recording right now? I'm like, yeah, and I had to scramble.
And we all realized none of us have been recording.
Can I throw in one prediction that didn't really fit into any of the categories? I think Nintendo is going to announce that gamepads will be made available individually.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's all I got on that front. I just wanted to put that in there somewhere, so yeah. So
I have to ask now, what game will feature this multi-gamepad support?
You mean, what game will feature no gamepad support? Or multi, okay.
Or are you saying they're going to be selling them without gamepads so they can not sell gamepads?
I don't know.
Because there's no point buying extra ones if you don't have games for it.
They have announced that the Wii U will be able to have two gamepads synced to it, and I was thinking, like, at some point, they gotta sell them.
I doubt they're gonna go delve in. You gotta have the games that use it, too, so. Unless you.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit like dividing your already small market at this point, though.
Mm.
I would like to see what they had planned for it. But I think it's gonna be too expensive to do their usual route of bundling it with the next game.
I do want to mention one last prediction. It's a short one. It's related on new characters of Smash Brothers. You know that rumored about how everybody, like, there's a petition out there to get Reggie in the game?
Okay.
We're going to get the Fizamek.
Haha.
I complete with sunglasses and Terminator look. I mean, considering how, yeah, Reggie does look like the Terminator.
I would like to see some sort of representation from, like, the top Nintendo guys, as it were. Like Reggie, like Shigsy, like Iwata. I think they might do it in, like, the form of Miis and just have some presets in there already.
There's going to be so many anger issues with people beating up on those bigwigs in those games. I could just see, like... This is for no online and the, like for the GameCube. This is for this. Like, oh boy.
Yeah, no, I can see that. So, any final predictions before we close the show here?
We will be tired by the end of it.
Okay, I got one final question. Do we think, overall, this is going to be a really good showing for Nintendo or an F1? Holly?
I'm going to say yes. Nintendo, I think they know they need to pull a good E3 out of their hat, and so they're going to do it. If they don't, wow. Bad for them.
And Colin?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they know it's necessary. I think they'll put it out.
Okay. Always the optimist in the Harrison.
I think as far as the bigger titles we're going to get is just going to be, you know, we're going to get a Zelda. We may see a returning character. Our returning franchise. I think we're going to be low on surprises. That or we're just going to get titles that are either going to be slipping away from 2014.
Alright, so like more of a in the middle sort of.
Yeah,
I'm fantastic, but not rubbish.
I'm just not as optimistic as the years past right
no
now.
No problem. Okay, and I'm going to join the other optimists in the room.
Traitor.
In the hope that Nintendo is keeping up tradition of being very good at keeping secrets. I'm hoping there's a big holiday title that we have no idea what it is. Similar to what happened to 3D World. And if that comes true, I think it's going to be a very good E3 showing for Nintendo. And with that, we do come to the end of a rather long show of Infendo Radio. As always, if you've got any questions for us, or if you'd like to send us your E3 predictions, you can send them to contact@infendo.com. Alternatively, if you are listening to this show via the website, you can scroll down and leave a question in the comments box below. And with that, this has been Infendo Radio, episode 312. Thank you very much for listening.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you later.